In this episode, learn the value of being authentic when building followers.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hey now, in a moment, I'm going to share with you the reason you want to be authentic when you're building relationships with your followers. But first, let's get caught up to speed on the latest video marketing news. At this week's public speaking appearance, an elderly woman raised her hand and she asked me, "Hey Todd, can you really get a virus from a viral video?" Now, this is a question I've never been asked before. And of course, the answer is the only way that you can get a virus from an online video is starring in the video. I hope this helped her. You know, I live in Arizona and every week there's a news story about some promiscuous senior having sex or a whole senior community that's going off the chain. So if she's actively interested in creating her own videos and developing a marketing campaign, I just want to make sure, you know, she's protected. Our friends at Vidyard announced that they're open for submissions to be considered for their 2016 Video Marketing Awards to honor excellence in video marketing. Now, winners will all be announced at the Viewtopia Video Marketing Summit in San Francisco. And if you want to know more about the power of Vidyard as a marketing tool for your videos, you should listen to my podcast, episode 18, where I speak with Michael Litt, Vidyard CEO and co-founder, about the capabilities of his video hosting technology and how Vidyard fits into the video hosting ecosystem. To listen to that episode or to click on the links to get access to submission for VMA consideration, or if you want information on Viewtopia, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/40. There's a great article this week on marketingland.com about the 8 do's and don'ts of successful video advertising. Now, in a moment, I'm going to walk you through this article, but first, if you haven't heard of Marketing Land or their sister site, Search Marketing Land, you really should be following their websites regularly. You know, I go there every day and have been since the site's launch many years ago. Both sites were founded by search industry veterans Danny Sullivan, who's the chief content officer and founding editor, and Chris Sherman, VP of programming and the founding editor. And they're published by Third Door Media. Now, I've got a lot of friends at Third Door Media. They're the parent company that provides a digital marketing depot as well as the MarTech and Search Marketing Expo conference series that I've been a frequent speaker at for SMX conferences across the country. And because all successful video marketing campaigns revolve around solid digital marketing practices, these sites, Search Marketing Land and Marketing Land, they really provide a really good daily pre-work, some information that you should be reading regularly if you want to be a master at your craft. And if you want links to the news sites that I mentioned or the conference that I've spoken at several times in the past, just go to wirebuzz.com/40 where those links are available. So let's get back to Pauline Jacober's article on the 8 do's and don'ts of successful video advertising. I think it's going to be really helpful. Number one, do educate through video ads. Now, back in 2015, Google came out with data that showed how to searches had grown 70% year over year on YouTube. Now, the bottom line here, as Pauline explains, people are on a mission to learn through video. So why not take an educational approach with your video ads? Now, I think this is really interesting because most people operate under a historical bias when it comes to ads. But online viewers and video viewers are in this really big how-to sphere. So use her recommendation, test, and see if how-to video ads pay off for you. I suspect she's really onto something. Number two, do include website information. Even though you shouldn't expect a direct sale from video ads, you should always have a call to action. Now, a call to action can be anything from in-channel events like subscribe to sending viewers to the website. You know, you can do this in a couple of different ways. She goes on to say for in-stream video ads, you can choose to send viewers to a YouTube landing page or a landing page on your site. Now, this is really smart advice. Most marketers forget to add a call to action. And for those of you who are noobs to this topic, call to action would also be considered a CTA, right? Call to action. And a lot of people forget to add them to their video. So make sure you get your audience something actionable that they can do when you've inspired them by the end of your video. Where do you want them to go or what do you want them to do? Don't forget that point. Do incorporate testimonial stories. You know, I totally agree with Pauline here. Testimonials are more important now than ever because just like the Rolling Stones taught us, things are different today, right? And because of Google and the access to information, prospects are totally in charge. Now, it used to be the salesperson is in charge, but not anymore, because today, the buyer, the prospect, they don't need to interact with a salesperson anymore. They go onto Google and they start looking for information. And if you've been following this podcast and you've heard me use the term inbound marketing, then you know what it means. But for those of you who are just tuning in, let me bring you quickly up to speed. Inbound marketing is how you use content in your marketing plan to bring potential customers to you rather than having your marketing efforts fight for their attention. Now, if you aren't convinced that we're in a completely different era in sales, you need to understand the latest stats. Prospects are now looking at 5 pieces of content before they ever pick up a phone to speak to a sales rep. And prospects look at 12 pieces of content before they ever make a buying decision. Now, I share this research in almost every one of my speaking events, and I'll make sure that my slides on this topic for my speaking appearances right out of my deck are posted on the show notes page for this episode. Just visit wirebuzz.com/40, and you'll quickly see Mick Jagger say, things are different today, right? Because consumers want more information and they're independent than they have ever been before. And you have to have the right information in your wheelhouse. Now, you're also going to see one slide that I've got on there that are for marketers and salespeople. It's all built in. So if you look at this from a marketing perspective, I've laid out the marketer's buyer's journey. And I've also listed the sales funnel. And underneath, you can see the videos that belong in the marketer's journey under each one of the stages. Just extrapolate that if you're a salesperson, and it'll be easy for you to see how to build in the right videos through your sales pipeline. This is an area where you're going to have to rely on your video metrics to find out what is the optimal length. Sure, marketers can guess and most do, but the smartest ones question every assumption and test on their audience that know better than they do. And then the audience's data, the metrics, provides the right feedback so the marketing team can provide the right message to the right audience and get high conversions. So do test the video length until you get exactly sure on what video length works best for your audience. Her first don't is don't think you need a huge budget. Now, Paulina writes, as long as you have a video asset already created, you can test your video ads. In other words, you don't need to go out and create an Emmy Award-winning video ad if you're just testing the waters. And you don't need to have a huge budget either. We've seen clicks as low as 11 cents, and we've had customers who are contributing as low as $30 a day on their video ads. Now, I totally agree with this. This is really solid, smart advice. And I'm always telling marketers and entrepreneurs to run a series of micro tests. Now, for those of you who are lazy, really lazy gold miners who watch the Discovery Channel on Friday nights, you'll appreciate this analogy. If you do a series of micro tests, just like gold mining, and you do drilling samples, multiple soil samples, and you plot where the best gold is, your micro tests are going to reveal where your biggest opportunities are at the lowest cost. And the best part of micro testing is that you get to learn fast and you get to learn cheap, so you get to the ROI quicker. Does that make sense? All right, and for the Discovery Channel Friday night listeners, really all you're doing is finding that glory hole, right? All right, her next don't is don't use poor quality videos. Look, if your brand, your product, or your service is about quality, that needs to be taken into consideration. Now, what you want to do is make sure you're sending a very clear, concise message about your brand and its quality. And that doesn't mean that every one of your videos need to be high productions, but think about the videos that you're using for first impression videos. Those should be your high quality videos, and you've sent a message right from the beginning that your business delivers high quality. Now, if you do the opposite, and the first video that your audience sees about you is a low quality video, now you're sending a very clear message to them that your brand isn't about quality. Be consistent. Be very conscious of the message that you're sending with video, because video is the most powerful tool. And just like Peter Parker said, with great powers comes great responsibility. So your responsibility is to make sure that your brand and your video quality are aligned. Her next don't is don't use outdated elements. Using pre-existing videos may be an easy way to test your ads, but just make sure the ads are still on brand and relevant today. And sometimes this is as simple as updating a logo, a phone number, or a URL featured in the video. If your pre-existing videos aren't scripted to the point and aren't compelling, your conversion rates are going to be way off. So when you test with shorter videos rather than long ones, and make sure that your videos don't have outdated elements. Now, maybe that seems to me, when I first read it, I was like, that might be a waste of a time to add that one. But I want to make sure that people understand that you've got to make sure when you're testing that you have all the elements right, because if you don't, the whole test is a fail. And the last don't, is don't forget about remarketing. Finally, you can easily include video ads within your remarketing strategy. There are a couple of different ways to remarket using videos, and I'm going to go through right out of her article, and I'll make this link available. But the first one is called standard remarketing. Show ads to your past visitors as they browse Display Network websites and use Display Network apps. And the next one's video remarketing. Now, you want to show ads to people who've interacted with your videos on YouTube, on your YouTube channel, as they use YouTube and as they browse Display Network videos, websites, and apps. And I'm so glad that Pauline added remarketing to this article. I don't think a lot of marketers are thinking about video and how it fits into their remarketing strategy. And so I'm really grateful that she brought this up. And I'm planning on doing a coming episode on retargeting to people who've already watched your videos. It's super affordable, a great way to remain top of mind until they're ready to convert. You know, one of our biggest clients provides the gold standard test that breast cancer patients use to determine if they're going to benefit from chemotherapy or not. And in 2011, Wirebuzz set up their retargeting campaign, and we felt very cutting edge at the time. And then 2 years later, in 2013, love of my life, my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. And then I watched my own marketing tactics play out before me. When my wife and I watched our clients' videos, our clients' ads that read something like, not every patient will benefit from chemotherapy. Well, those ads started retargeting us all around the internet on news sites and on Facebook. And I know it sounds a little creepy as I'm explaining it, right? It sounds like you're being stalked. But the reality of retargeting is patients and customers, they may not be in the decision-making position the first time they see your ad. As any traditional marketer will tell you, people may need to see it 12 to 15 times before they're ready to make a decision. Now, if you have questions that you would like asked and answered in this podcast, a future topic that you think would make for a great episode, or an expert you like to pitch to me, just go to wirebuzz.com/pitch. And if you want to get access to this article that I just broke down that Pauline wrote, you could just go to wirebuzz.com/30 to the show notes page. Again, wirebuzz.com/30. Now, in a moment, I'm going to explain how being authentic in your videos builds relationships. But first, I want to share with you a life breakthrough that I recently had. You know, back in the day when I was a talk show host on the number one station in Phoenix, I made a huge mistake. One day on the radio, in front of a couple hundred thousand people, I made the mistake of sharing this very personal story, and I got so much hate mail and harassing feedback that I have literally been silent about this topic for the last 15 years. You know, my parents knew there was a problem back when I was in second or third grade when I couldn't keep up in class. And throughout grade school in the 1970s and 80s, I struggled horribly with ADD, dyslexia, visual and auditory perception impairments. But, you know, fortunately for me, a really smart kid that could compete everywhere in life, just not in the classroom. But fortunately for me, my parents never gave up on me. And they made sure that I always had opportunities to be proud of myself and to learn new ways to work around my issues. But on campus, you know, in their own defense, teachers knew nothing about learning disabilities at that time. The few times I confided with a teacher, somehow they would bring up some dyslexia joke in front of the whole class later on. And they basically taught me to keep my mouth shut if I didn't want to be humiliated. And that's exactly what I learned 15 years ago when I brought it up on the radio. I got so much hate mail that day that it violated my weekend as I went home and tried to be with my wife. And you really start to see the ugly side of people when you find yourself the target of jokes and ridicule. In fourth grade, trying to solve my ADD, my fourth grade teacher literally made me share her desk for the full year. Like, when I say literally, if I needed a pen, there was a cup in front of me, or a pencil, and number two was always at my disposal. I could reach over and staple my papers together. We shared the same desk. And I've never been more humiliated in my life. You know, I vividly remember this wave of humiliation that I would feel every time the classroom door would open. And in my head, instantly, I was like, was the girl that I had a crush on in the other class going to walk in that door and see me sharing the teacher's desk? Because instantly she would know I was a dummy. You know, had I just become the joke of other kids on campus, it was nothing short of total humiliation. And my parents are the biggest blessing in this whole story. They're literally amazing. They never gave up on me on Tuesdays and Thursdays from fourth grade until I graduated from high school. One of my parents would pick me up from school around 2 p.m. And sure, I felt awkward leaving, because if you really want to know about me, all I really want to do is be included, right? I just want to be part of the bigger group, and I never want to be isolated or singled out. And my parents would take me on Tuesday. I'd go to a education therapist that would work with my learning disability. And on Thursday, I'd go with a psychologist that would talk with me about what I was going through. And back then, there weren't resources. Like, schools knew nothing about this. I was like this, you know, slow kid on his own little island. And in high school, one teacher who didn't even believe in learning disabilities, just felt like I was lazy, would purposely call on me to read out loud in class. Or he would say, Mr. Hartley, how do you spell, like there was a pop quiz, and knowingly perfectly well that I can't spell at all. And while everyone would laugh, I literally was broken inside. Even my high school guidance counselor, somebody who you thought would know better, knew nothing about learning disabilities. You know that time during your senior year towards the end of the school year when the school paper published where all kids were going to college? You remember that? Like, everybody was really proud, right? Like, you know, so-and-so's going to Berkeley and two people got into Yale. And, you know, and the paper had published that I was accepted to the University of Arizona. And I don't even know if I made it to lunchtime before my counselor pulled me out of class, brought me into the principal's office to have a talk about why I was lying and how disrespectful it was to the other kids that worked really hard to get accepted to universities, and that I had turned the paper into some kind of joke saying that I got accepted when she knew better. And fortunately for me, the University of Arizona had just opened up a cutting-edge center for students like me who were super bright but had trouble competing in the classroom. The SALT Center at the University of Arizona is the nation's leading academic support program for college students who learn differently. And living up to their name, SALT, Salt taught me how to leverage my own strategic alternative learning techniques. Salt services include individualized learning plans, problem solving, which is probably the most valuable thing that I ever got, 4 years of problem solving practice, learning strategy instruction. I'm super strategic. The way that I learn is strategic. The way that I teach my clients about video marketing is all strategic. We had peer tutoring, academic skills workshops, psychology services, educational technology consultations, and leadership and social programs. And today, more than 550 University of Arizona students with learning disabilities, which include attention deficit and hyperactive disorders, and a range of other learning differences, utilize Salt Center services to help fulfill their dream of earning a college degree. At some point, you guys, after I left Salt and I didn't need them anymore, and I could do this all on my own, I could read, I could write papers. The amount of investment that they put into me really, literally turned my life around. When I'm explaining this to people, I like to tell people, and this is no exaggeration, that the University of Arizona helped save my life, because I would be absolutely miserable if I couldn't be the person that I wanted to be. I remember one day being on the radio in Phoenix on the number one station, and I'm reading breaking news that was just handed to me off to the side. I'm reading it cold, and as I'm reading it, I'm saying to myself, can you fucking believe you are reading right now in front of all of these people? Thankfully, I didn't drop an F-bomb in the middle of the breaking news, but that's what was going on inside of my dome while I was reading that news to the audience. And earlier this week, with the help of my team at Wirebuzz, I published my personal thank you testimonial video to the Salt Center, which is just about to open their new center on campus. And I'm honored to be at Salt's ribbon-cutting ceremony of the new center on October 14th in Tucson. Now, if you'd like to see my personal thank you to the Salt Center video, we made sure to post it on the show notes page for this episode. And all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/40. And the best things that Salt gave me are really sharp tools that nobody would ever guess that I struggled learning. Today, I learned very quickly. My disabilities have become really my strengths, and nobody would ever guess that I used to struggle. And that's my very personal secret, that I've just decided that I'm no longer willing to be silent about. And when people can relate with you, they build relationships. And as my grandfather always told me, people do business with people they have relationships with. So be authentic in your videos, be candid. Share a piece of yourself, and it'll help you and your business develop relationships. I'm sure by now, because I was candid with you, right? And I was authentic and I shared who I really am, that you now have an opportunity to see me completely differently. And if I would have withheld that from you, and I would have just stayed polished Todd that, that sounds great and provides good information, that's one thing. But what I hope that conversation just did was give you a little taste of how authentic you can be and feel the relationship that we've now created, because now you're going to be able to relate with me better. And when you do that in your videos, when you're real, people recognize it. And they also feel it in the emotions that you're sharing, in the body language. And this is how you use a tool like video to share a story, which could be about your business, your product, or your service. And you start to create friends that know something special about you. And I assure you that when I do tell this story, I already know that people will come up to me and they will say, hey, Todd, I've got a son who is experiencing dyslexia. Like, I've already broke into, by sharing my special story, a special connection to people out there, and you could be doing the same thing in your own unique and very special way. You don't have to tell your whole life story, all right? In fact, you shouldn't. But if you're candid and you're authentic, people will relate to you in very unique ways, and that will ultimately develop very deep and trusted relationships. If you have business goals that need to be addressed, maybe ROI that needs to be amplified, or you have a difficult business problem that needs to be solved, whatever it is, I want you to think about your goal first, then create a very tight digital strategy, which will influence the type of content you create and how that campaign needs to be executed. More often than not, video is going to be a big part of that solution. Getting started, it's often the most difficult part. So to help you create the right videos for your business, Wirebuzz created a topic selection worksheet. And it's free to the listeners of this podcast, and it can be downloaded at wirebuzz.com/topics. If you like this podcast, please leave us a really honest rating and review on iTunes. That would really be helping us out. And I'm going to make sure that the team, like we always do, keeps our feelers out there for the latest video marketing news. We bring it back, synthesize it for you, show you how you can use it to elevate your brand or convert more deals. And we'll do that so when you show up at your next office meeting and you pull up to the conference table chair and look around, everybody in the room will know that you are a video marketing master.